I'd invite you to turn to the book of Revelation, chapter number 2.
If you'd stand out of respect to the word of God, we're going to go ahead and read the first 7 verses. Revelation chapter 2, beginning with verse number 1. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the 7 stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them that which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Father, we're grateful for this passage of Scripture as we spend a few moments discussing a few things. Father, bless our time together. May your Holy Spirit prevail and direct our hearts heavenward. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. These letters to these 7 churches here at the beginning of the book of Revelation are a fascinating passage of Scripture as God is writing to very real people, people that worshiped in churches very similar to ours. They didn't have the building that we have. They would meet in homes for the most part at this time. But they were just getting to that part where they're transitioning into buildings. But nevertheless, it was a church family that God was addressing here, a church family in the city of Ephesus. And he has some things to say to them. And as you go through all 7 letters, you find that he has some good things and he has some bad things. He makes them a promise after introducing himself. And so we're just going to look at Ephesus a little bit, and not even all of it, this letter, just a few things. The first thing I want to notice here in this church is Jesus' presence. Jesus' presence. And this is important for us to understand, because when we meet as a church family, we're not meeting like any club in town. We're not meeting like some of the other churches in the area that have long ago denied Jesus Christ and his salvation. But when you're a true church, a biblical church, Jesus promises his presence. And look what he said to the church there at Ephesus. First, he's talking about the 7 stars, holding the 7 stars in his hands. Now, we're told in the last verse of chapter 1 who those 7 stars are. Now, there's some debate whether it be angels or whether it actually be the pastor, because they're described as angels in verse number 20 of chapter 1, but I believe these angels are the pastors of the churches. And what God is saying is, I hold those pastors in my hand. In other words, he strengthens them, he empowers them, he undergirds them, and gives them direction. But more importantly, what we see here, and it's hard to be more important than that, but the fact that he walks in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks. Now, what are the 7 golden candlesticks? And again, I'm glad you asked, because that same verse in chapter 1, verse number 20, tells us at the end of that verse, the 7 candlesticks which thou sawest are the 7 churches. And so what he's saying, he says, I walk in the midst of the churches. His presence is with us, as he promised us in Matthew chapter 18, verse number 20, when he said, for where 2 or 3 are gathered together in his name, there am I, said he, in the midst. You know, so often we think that God's presence is in the big mega churches where there's a gazillion people that worship every Sunday, and we're mistaken in that. God says it doesn't take a gazillion people for him to meet with us. In fact, a lot of those churches where there's a gazillion people, God isn't anywhere to be found. All they're concerned about, the leadership of those organizations, are concerned about pleasing the people in the pews. And because they're doing a good job pleasing the people in the pews, then they, in turn, keep coming week after week. But we want to be concerned with having God's presence with us. As I said, we're not like any other social club or organization in town, unless it be a Bible-believing church, which then is not a social club nor an organization. It's a living organism, a part of God Himself, as Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, tells us. And so we don't conduct our business like an organization. We don't conduct our business like a corporation. That doesn't mean that we are haphazard in what we do and that we're not organized and that we do things decently in order. But we operate by faith. Every other organization operates by the bottom line, and we must never forget that. The second thing I want to notice here, in verse number 1, we see Jesus' presence. In verses 2 and 3, we see Jesus' praise. As I said, each of these churches, other than a couple of them, He has good things to say about them. And it's interesting to read what He says here, because what we find ourselves reading about is a description of a fundamental, independent Baptist church. He says, "I know thy works." They were busy. He says, "and thy labor." Isn't that repetitive? These are people that were trying to do something for God. That's important for us to see. "I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience." And He mentions patience again in verse number 3. And so we see that they're going through some level of persecution, that they had some challenges and some difficulties with their ministry and among the church family. He goes on in verse number 2 saying, "how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars." In other words, they knew the truth, the fundamentals of the faith, and they rejected those that rejected the fundamentals of the faith. We as fundamentalists need to do that. You know another term for fundamentalists? Because today fundamentalists is being run through the mill and being bad-mouthed all over the place. After 9/11, it became popular in the media, and it was an organized effort. We have proof of the organized effort that they made to link the term fundamentalist, biblical fundamentalist, Christian fundamentalist, with the radical Islamic fundamentalists. And they have absolutely no bearing or no clue what the word fundamentalist is all about. But they want to ring us through the mill because they hate us because we believe this book. And we do our best to practice this book. And those that don't, we see them as wicked in their lifestyles, and we call them out as heretics because of their doctrinal beliefs. And that's exactly what we just read in that verse. That's what the church did in Ephesus. We talked about this last Sunday night, because I know some people get a little bit queasy if I name names of those that are false teachers today. And yet we find that God does it in His Word. He points them out so that we don't fall into their smooth-talking sales pitch and make shipwreck of our faith. God wants us to expose those who are teaching false doctrine and name them by name so that there's no mistakes. See, this is a fundamental, independent, Bible-believing Baptist church here in Ephesus in the first century. And Jesus has good things to say about them because of their work and because of their stance for the truth. When I consider our church, and my title for the message, this is kind of giving you an idea of where I'm going from this point forward, is just simply the State of the Church Address. Our president gives the State of the Union address every year, and we look forward to hearing what he plans to do in the future and how he assesses what's been going on. We have a lot to praise God for as we enter the year 2019, just concluding 2018. We were able to take on, by faith, some more missionaries. That's always a good thing. And we admire those that are willing to sacrifice the comforts of living in the United States to go across the world to spread the gospel to those that have never heard and have no opportunity of hearing. But so often we're unwilling to sacrifice a happy meal in order to send someone. We heard Brother Mahaffey say he's at about 30%. And he needs to raise some more money, and they expect it'll take him at least 2 years. I've known missionaries that have been on the deputation trail for a lot longer than 2 years. Because it's so difficult in our day and age to raise support. And we see churches doing all kinds. Now, Don't mistake what I'm saying here. I believe that we need to update our seating and our carpet, because if you look at it, none of you would have carpeting of this nature in your home. You'd have it replaced a long time ago. But people in churches spending money on frivolous things and spending thousands upon thousands and oftentimes hundreds of thousands of dollars, and yet they don't have a penny to invest in missions worldwide. Praise God, last year we were able to take on a number of new missionaries and increase support of some of the missionaries we had. That is always a good thing, and God will bless that. Last year we had, I would say it's our, and I don't have an exact number this year, but our average number of souls saved again last year. We kind of had a little flurry there in November in our kids' ministries. Praise the Lord for that. We average better than a soul a week saved through the different ministries of our church. Now, we don't all see it because it's happening in so many different areas, and oftentimes it's separate one from another, and we try to announce sometimes when that happens, but we see over a soul a week come to the make a profession of faith. We'll just put it that way because we don't know a man's heart. Praise God for that. That's good. That's what we're supposed to be doing. That's why we're here. We have a very active track ministry. If you've never been here Sunday night, come at least once and listen to the track report. And you'll get encouraged to hear how many people in our church family are distributing gospel tracts, going down on our track whack on the way out, grabbing a handful of tracts, and then sending them out in our community in different areas. And it's kind of neat to see how somebody will hit one area and somebody else will get a different area in town and someone else a different area, and we're blanketing the area in gospel tracts. If you weren't aware of it, our ladies' missionary fellowship hosts, it's four track racks, right? Five now in different businesses. If you go to the hospital and you see a little clear plastic display of chick tracts, our ladies are putting those tracts there. If you go to a few different businesses in town, Amy, remind me of a guy. I know Lee Plymouth Insurance. Doctor who? Dr. Lynn, a dentist. Chiropractor. Dr. Rogers and Dr. Scott. Do we still have him at Dr. Britton's? Okay. So praise the Lord, these people are willing to let us put chit tracks in their places of businesses, and we refill them regularly, and Amy makes sure she's the one who's out there usually replacing the tracks, trying to get seasonal tracks in there. Praise the Lord for the number of tracks our church puts out in the community. I know sometimes it's hard for individuals to talk to someone on how to get saved, but everybody can give a gospel tract that then does the talking for you. And so those are good things we've done. We had a youth rally yesterday afternoon. Praise the Lord. Our count came to 44 kids. And I mentioned this in Sunday school. 22 were from our church. How's that? That's pretty good. God has blessed us. Now, we went through the summer, was pretty lean. The end of spring and into the middle of the summer, and even more towards the end of the summer, we didn't have a lot of kids coming in, and that's just the nature of a bus ministry. But we're up to 22, and this doesn't include the younger kids. We've been putting in the number of young people that ride our bus on Wednesday night to Bible Explorers, and it was down a little bit last week because we missed because of Christmas, and when you start back up, it's always a little bit lower until the kids get back in the swing of things. But praise the Lord, we still had 18, I believe it was the number last week. We had another one that drove in and drove home, and so they didn't get counted, but basically a bus kid. And so while we don't have kids hanging off the rafters, God has given us a pretty healthy number of kids. You want to know how to get more kids? This is really easy. It doesn't take a rocket scientist. We have open blanks for people to sign up for Children's Church. That's the only thing holding us back. Our youth workers. It's the only thing holding us back. God has given us an amazing open door here in Bucyrus to reach the young people of this city. And the only reason we don't have more is because we don't have the workers for it. But that's a little bit later in the message by way of a challenge. But God has blessed our youth ministry. We saw a large number of young people come to Christ through those ministries. And so praise God for our youth workers that are busy and all the work that Brother Scott did in getting that rally going yesterday. And Aaron and Chelsea have a big part in the youth ministry, and Sharon on Wednesdays as well with Mrs. Wilman. And my wife helps out, of course, with that. And so praise God for these people that are busy in the trenches. And so we have a lot to praise God for. But this letter to the Ephesians isn't all praise. As we move on to verse number 4, I just simply titled this, Jesus' Priority. He says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. In other words, even though you're doing well, there's room for improvement. He talks about them leaving their first love. And that's an issue. We believe that, I believe, and I think it's pretty well the consensus among people who study the Bible, that what he's talking about is they became so busy that their relationship with God was taking a hit. That they grew distant from God because of their busyness. They weren't taking time to nurture their own spiritual walk, their own spiritual lives. And that's always a danger for those that are busy. And to take the time to read your Bibles and pray every day, and you'll do what? As the old kid's song goes, grow, grow, grow. I'd sing it for you, but you'd all get up and leave, and we don't want that to happen. And so it's just a simple Bible truth that we need to always, no matter how busy we are, no matter what's happened in our past or current, present, that we've done for God, we still have to read our Bibles and pray every day. But what he's essentially saying, there's always room for improvement. And when I look at our church, I realize there's always room for improvement. I think our children's church ministry leaves room for improvement. And I praise God for the workers we have. But here's my vision for the youth ministry. And I'd really like to see this come to pass for maybe not always the best reasons. Because I have Abby and Jacob in my eyesight here on this one. She's going to be graduating this May, and there's a possibility, and we just need to all pray them to Bursiris. There's a possibility they'll come here. But the way the mind of a bus kid works, we can get them here on Sunday morning. You say, well, where are they? They've come. We've had one or two here this week and that week and around different weeks. But unless we have someone that takes that up as their ministry, and say, I will sacrifice my Sunday morning service every week. We will never be able to get those kids to come all the time on Sunday morning. It's just the way the mind of a bus kid works. What will happen, you'll get someone that will take that as their ministry. And you'll get kids that will like them and come, as well as getting kids that won't like them and won't come. But what we've got right now is they wake up in the morning and say, well, I don't know who's going to be there, so I'm not going to chance it. I'll stay home with my video games and my cartoons. Or I'll go to a church that has a program like that. And that's where a lot of our Wednesday night kids, they get on a bus and they ride a bus for an hour to go to another church that has that type of a program. If we have the workers for that, and I know it's a sacrifice, I know how hard it is. My wife and I did it for 8.5 years. Every Sunday morning, we were in children's church every week. Except we had them the whole service, not just half like we do here. We had them the whole service, and we did that. And God blessed it. We saw so many kids come to know Christ. We saw so many kids. It is one of the most rewarding ministries you'll ever get involved in. We have room for improvement there. As I said, if the Lord leads Jacob and Abby here, I'd like to see them plugged into it unless someone steps up in the meantime. But don't lean on them coming. If God speaks to your heart, maybe you're the one that God wants to do that ministry. But it needs to be more than just a story time. They need to have some good preaching too. We need to gear it towards maybe you know, extending that beyond the third grade and gearing it to their level. Another area where I think we could use a lot of improvement is our ABC and club participation. We've got a gem there, and most of you have never experienced it. If you're 50 years old or older and have that time available, I'll let the cat out of the bag. We even let Brother Scott, when he's available, and Stephanie and the kids come. You don't have to be 50. You just have to show up, and they won't turn you away. You want a good meal? There you go. But more importantly, good fellowship. And I say that all along, you're not going to get better fellowship and have more fun than with the ABC Club. And so that's an area we can improve. We've got a great, Paul and Sam just done an incredible job, and they've had some help, especially this last year, a little more help than in the past. But it takes a lot of work to do what they do. And as a pastor, I just appreciate them. They're a real blessing. But we should just embrace that as a church family. Another area we could use improvement is our soul winning. We didn't have very much of an organized soul winning program last year. That will not happen this year. Just different events going on last year kept that from happening, and that's all my fault, and I have to answer to God for that. But that's not going to happen this year. Why don't you pray about what God would have you do when we have organized church soul winning? Because it needs to be just that, church soul winning. Not just Pastor and Amy. Not just Pastor and Amy and Brother Scott and Miss Stephanie. It needs to be a church effort. And you know, we're happy to do what we can. But you know, we can knock on so many doors. But if there's twice as many of us, guess what we can do? We can knock on twice as many doors. And that's how churches grow. And I know the devil has propagated a lie that's infected even fundamental Baptist churches, that knocking on doors is not for today. The churches that have bought into that are the ones switching to the rock bands and the ones that are removing the pulpit and putting a stool up here and the pastor just coming up in blue jeans and a t-shirt or a polo shirt if he dresses up, because they're getting desperate, because they're dying. You know, the churches that have embraced the good old Bible way of building a church, of knocking on doors, they're growing. And they have building programs. And they don't know what to do with their people because they have too many. But you see, it has to be a church effort. Because just a couple of us going out there, we're going to do what we can. But we're not going to be able to blanket our city like needs to be done to see the results that God wants to give. Other areas of room for improvement is our Sunday evening and our midweek service. Our Sunday school attendance has been up of late. Praise God for that. Now, it makes it harder when we have our Sunday school contest, but that's okay. I'd like to make it harder. I think Heritage is about to wave the white flag, and so we've got to give them a half a chance. And so, but we need to be in church when the church doors are open. If you want to grow, adding to reading your Bible and praying every day, be in church when the doors are open. I honestly don't understand not wanting to be in church. And I love coming here. I've always loved being in church. My church family was my family. Maybe it's because of my background. I don't take it for granted. And I didn't have much of a family life growing up. I had six siblings. I didn't have much of a family life. But I found out what family was when I got saved and got involved in my church. And I was just naive enough that I just went to Sunday school because the doors were open. I just came back on Sunday night because they had a service. So I wanted to see what it was about. And I have never, other than work and health, and I've told you this many times, have never slacked off. There's never been a time in my life where I've said to my wife, let's not go tonight, I just don't feel like it. And we've never stayed home. We go on vacation, you know where we're at on Sunday night. We're in church. And so we have room for improvement. We've got a lot to praise God for, just as Jesus praised his church at Ephesus. But we've got to be careful in our priorities, because the world will suck your time away and give you nothing left for for God. Is God calling you to fill in some ministry here? Maybe it's nothing I've mentioned. I could have gone on and on, but I've already gone a lot longer and I plan to go this morning with the message, time-wise. Is God speaking to your heart about some area of ministry? We have so many needs here at Calvary Baptist Church, just looking for faithful people, for faithful people. You know, if you just come on Sunday morning, it'd be pretty hard to have you teach in children's church, simply because that's the only time you're being fed from God's Word. You can't miss that. You need that more than we need someone teaching the kids. So we're looking for faithful people that'll come back tonight and then be back on Wednesday. Those are the people God uses, not the people that only come on Sunday morning. We're glad you're here. We honestly are. But this is the State of the Church address. If we're going to progress, we need people that'll step up. We need people that'll step up. Will you be that one? Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for these churches that you praised and criticized. As we study them, we see reasons why, if our church was the one being written to, why you might praise us. But also, if we do honest inspection of our ministries, we see other areas where we may be dropping the ball and have room for improvement. Help us to identify these areas and then address the needs. Father, it all begins with each individual church member just simply yielding to you and saying, Lord, here am I. What would you have me to do? Speak to our hearts now in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.